everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kane alongside, Gonzo as well. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Bonatti. His fine show behind the bench for 2 hours today. Normally three, but we're going to head to the second and final round of the NBA draft at 5 o'clock. And then the Giants and A's come up on 14:30. Sunbird Sports Show is back with Paul Metters on 790. And when that wraps up at 7, we'll take the A's feed of the Giants and the A's. I do want to mention tomorrow they'll wrap up the three-game set at Oracle with an afternoon game that will take us off the air. But Phil will be coming up as soon as we're done, and he will be at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian tomorrow. Tell you more about that a little bit later on. Also, when we go over the schedule in more specificity, I'll tell you about Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Remind you every day, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And when we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790, I'll tell you about the great fundraising that Ed has done for many years at Fresno State through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at the university. Jack Furtig with me in the regular slot today. He was nice enough to jump in yesterday because Paul Leffler was not available. Paul will be back with me next Monday. We'll be back to normal next week with Paul on Monday and Jackson on Tuesday. Jackson will be back with me Friday, of course, this week as the de facto co-host. He's the only one who has two visits a week with us. But for today, it'll be Jack Furtig. More about basketball, both Fresno State, and we'll go over some of the things from the draft last night and how a lot of what's going on in the NBA relates very much to what college would like to see in the way of equality across the board so that some of the people at the bottom of the rung have a chance to get to the top. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you, beginning with our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Great local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and they're always available in a big hurry at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or you can schedule on the web at leesair.com. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, these are the people to see. As far as the forecast goes, again, we're headed toward July. We are headed toward the heat, and we are just now in summer, and right now we're actually a little bit above the temperatures, the norm at this time of year, but we also know you can be very, very hot and much hotter than 100 degrees, which is what we're going to be today, and then 99 tomorrow, and then we do fall to 93 on Friday and all the way down into the 80s over the weekend, 87 on Saturday, 86 on Sunday, and then next week, a 91 on Monday, 94 on Tuesday, and then we'll go 96, 95, actually 96, 96, 95 as we start July. So you can't complain about that. As a matter of fact, right now, in the extended 10-day, and again, that's always subject to change, of course, as we get closer to the date, we're looking at only 95 degrees on the 4th of July, and I think people that grew up here, we know that sometimes the 4th of July can be 105, 106, 107, et cetera. So if we're going to be at 95, it's going to be a very pleasant and very memorable 4th of July, of course. So anyway, hope everything works out for everybody out there. And the usual proviso, be very careful around the waterways. I know Tulare County has continued to have problems. We talk about this all the time. The rivers may be tempting when you're hot, but it's a lot colder than you think, and the current is moving a lot more quickly than you think. Even the lakes, you have to be careful. Even the backyard pools, you got to watch out. But in particular, the rivers, try to stay away from them. It is really, really dangerous out there. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's where you can call Gonzo in the morning with his fine show, Valley Rise, or you can call Phil. So mark it down, 559-320-1430. Final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend and great benefactor at Fresno State. That is Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. He's over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, celebrating year number 26 of his great business. He's been a benefactor at Fresno State for over three decades. We tell you about this every day. You're someone It works around a valve. If you're a plant or maintenance person, you work around a tanker delivery operation. If you're around a boiler, if you work at a dairy, anybody who works around a valve, if that valve goes down, your business can go down in a big, big hurry. So Joe not only has the pipe fittings and those valves and sanitary fittings and food grade and chemical hoses and suction hoses all there for you on site. And he also has more information, by the way, on the web at SuperiorPipeUSA.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Joe has availability in person there at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103, or you can call him at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. His personalized service is the key to the whole thing. Same-day estimate, same-day service. He'll sit with you and listen to the issues you have. If they are minor issues, he'll be able to seamlessly keep you running very smoothly so you don't take that hit. If you've already taken that hit financially, he'll get you back up and running in a big, big hurry. So stop in and see him or give him a call. He will address your issues first and foremost. And when you're done with what he can do to set you up on the path to get things back to normal, he will ask if you have a few minutes so he can tell you what he has done as a benefactor for over three decades at Fresno State. And right now we'll point you to the main website at GoBulldogs.com, where you'll find different opportunities to donate. Click on that donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different links. For instance, BulldogFoundation.org is there. Club Red for former student-athletes to get involved is under that header. Under the major giving societies, you'll find the Green Bee Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Under ways to give, you've got the very important Valley Co-op with the matching funds. You have Valley Fueled there as well. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me in just a second on the board of directors at the timeout club. He said they'd love to have more members. Doesn't cost that much. Great social organization. And you also get a lot of inside information during the meetings. Assistant coaches, head coach will come in and talk to you about Bulldog basketball. Jack has said for more information, you can give him a call anytime on his cell at 559-287-3305. Or you can catch him on the email at ferdyjack@aol.com. There are links for other men's and women's sports there as well. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball. So check that out under sports clubs. And then finally, the singular information you have for more events on campus is there under the header more. So tell you about events on campus, tickets and parking and everything going on. So it's one-stop shopping there at GoBulldogs.com. Couple of notes here. Of course, we're just a few days away from being the official flagship for Fresno State once again, and the very important Bulldog Sports Enterprise is underway, the partnership between the university and Chris and everybody at the station. If you want more information, 1430ESPNFresno.com, and somebody will get back to you right away if you call in and let them know what you need as far as being involved. And in that regard, I want to commend the young business people that have gotten involved now. This part of that grassroots effort to help out Vance and men's basketball. It's a tremendous step forward. And when we talk about what Ed Dunkel does, or Joe Cruz does, these are established businessmen. These are younger and businessmen, and they're the ones that are going to be the future, ultimately, of what happens at Fresno State. And I hope we're going to see involvement, all aspects, more of the veteran leadership, more of the young leadership, and anywhere in between, because if you're going to keep up with the Joneses in your own conference, the Pac-12, never mind the rest of the country, it is going to take the grassroots effort here, and I hope everybody who can get involved certainly will. Anyway, thanks, as always, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing me the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for allowing me the time to tell you about the weather. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, and he will afford me the time later to tell you about the schedules. And right now, on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our great friend and basketball expert, and the aforementioned one, Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing?
I don't know about expert. I can't remember names, but there were a few from yesterday that we're going to talk about, and I'm standing by my prediction that there are going to be guys between 6 and 10 who are going to end up in the Hall of Fame. So,
well,
it doesn't really matter when you're if you're outside the top four, where those guys were all locks, and I'm not sure that all four of those guys are going to have great careers as well. But that's neither here nor there. I just think that it was a really deep draft, and I think there are going to be a lot of guys who surprise who are going to, in the years to come, people are going to say, how did so-and-so get picked before this guy? Kind of like you have now with Steph Curry and Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that. Of course, the Steph Curry situation was legendary in New York, and only now, with the Knicks winning their first title in 53 years, were some of the wounds salved. We've talked about this. There was the iconic situation of the one Knicks fan during the draft when Curry was finishing up at Davidson, who thought for all the world that Curry was coming to the Knicks. Now, understand, nobody knew that Curry was going to be that great, but we knew he was a revelation in the NC2As as an undersized guard at an undersized Davidson, if you will. And there were Knicks fans there at the Garden where they had the draft who were just waiting for Curry's name to be called. And when the slot came up, and understand, we talked about it, just what you were referencing, Minnesota picked two other point guards and passed over Steph Curry. Well, the Knicks and Knicks fans thought it was going to be their pick. And Curry didn't even know where the Warriors played, and he and his agent had told the Warriors, don't pick me, I'm not going to play for you. And Larry Riley, the Warrior general manager, saw the opening to slide in. And when he made that pick, the Knicks, who were waiting behind, had their fan base, a lot of them apoplectic. And one guy, if you remember, Jack, and I'm sure this guy still carries this around in his phone, his head in his hands, okay? He's just screaming no. And believe me, until the Knicks won it, few weeks ago, that guy has probably still been complaining since 2009 about it.
He's probably one of those guys you saw at the top of the lamppost at the parade.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. But the point is, it is not an exact science. We know that.
Exactly,
but
recruiting, right?
Right. Those freshman guards, if you will, that 5 to 10 group. They are a group loaded with potential. And in that realm, to all of you, James and Clovis, to Dom, to Mac, to a lot of you that emailed me about the conflict in Warrior Land between Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, let me just say quickly, this has been a conflict since the Warriors picked up the 2022 title and really before that, where Joe Lacob, because, and you know this, Jack, well, we keep bringing Lacob in regard to Steve Ballmer. The one difference is, well, both of them will spend and spend and spend, and the reason the second apron is in is because of their spending to limit it. The difference is Ballmer is spending his own money, period. So Steve Ballmer can have an executive meeting while he's shaving in the morning, if you know what I mean, because the only guy that needs to be accountable for is in the mirror. Joe Lacob is a very wealthy guy, but he heads up a very well-heeled venture capitalist group, and he is accountable to those guys. And so what Joe has tried to do, he has tried to keep the Warriors as a veteran group for Steph Curry's benefit intact, while at the same time trying to go young. And a lot of people told him you can't have two different tracks going at the same time. They failed with Wiseman. They failed with Kuminga, and was one of Lacob's favorites, by the way, Kuminga. And Moody right now, the other of those three lottery picks they were lucky to get a few years ago, Moody has a catastrophic injury he's coming back from. So the Warriors essentially went 0-for-3. They decided, okay, now we need to make Curry's last couple of years as profitable as possible for Steph on the court and for the Warriors as an organization. But Jack, when it was between a guy, Burries, who was a freshman, and a 24-year-old that they drafted, you knew there was conflict. And in all honesty, the Bucks saved the Warriors probably a fistfight in the war room by picking Burries. Can you imagine what would have happened, Jack, if Burries would not have been picked? And now you have one faction there saying, no, we need the 24-year-old, the tried and true veteran from Michigan. And others saying, no, we need the freshman with the greater upside from the University of Arizona. The conflict was saved by the Bucks making the pick. But there is dysfunction, Jack, in that front office right now. It's the reason that Bob Myers left. And it's really uncomfortable because you and I both know, even if the Warriors are lucky enough to stay healthy, and even if both Moody and Jimmy Butler can come back from serious injury by the first of the year, even if they sign Porzingis and somehow a guy whose name, as I told you, should be the oft-injured Kristaps Porzingis. That should be his full name. Yeah. Even if he stays healthy and Curry stays healthy and Green stays healthy and Horford stays healthy, if, and like Barkley said, as you get older, you don't get healthier, you just get older. Even then, Jack, they're not good enough to beat OKC. They're not good enough to beat San Antonio. They can be really good, but in the Western Conference, really good can get you in the play-in or can actually get you in seed number 11 and not even making the play-in because Utah's going to be better. Portland and Phoenix already were better. It is an impossible conference, and I don't see how the Warriors, unless LeBron decides to pay the Lakers back because he thinks he's being disrespected, unless he goes to the Bay Area for less money, I don't know how they possibly can dream of a title in the next 2 years. That's my bottom line. What say you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for anybody beside OKC and San Antonio, although I said that this year too. But I think they caught
the Western Conference, Jack. I'm talking about the Western Conference.
Right, right. They caught such a break. In that, there was a battle between Burries and Lendeborg. I told you yesterday, although I didn't remember his name, Yaxel Lendeborg, I don't know how I could forget that, to me is the much better and safer pick. They tried, like you said, to get those young guys, Wiseman and Kuminga, and it didn't work out because young guys are sometimes they're not as patient as they ought to be. I mean, you look at Curry. Curry was not a star the first year that he played for the Warriors.
In 4 years, Jack, really, basically.
Yeah,
he was an
right.
ankle player.
But he worked at
it. He was playing behind Monte Ellis a lot of the time. You remember
yeah,
that?
And he, but he,
between
yeah,
Monte
he worked,
Ellis
right,
and him.
Right, yeah. And Monte Ellis was certainly a good player. But
until he got hurt. Terrific, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to be a little more mature. And I think that's what you get in Lendeborg. This guy's going to be 24, and he's obviously a winner. He came from basically nothing. He was ready to quit basketball until his mother just, whipped him into shape and said, look, I know what you can do. Why don't you go and prove me right? And sure enough, he did. And I think a 24-year-old is going to meld in that team a lot better than a 19-year-old would. So I think they caught a break. Burries is terrific, but to bring in a guard with a guy like Curry, and Curry has never been, to his credit, he knows it's his team, but he's never said that. Even when Durant was there, he never said, "Hey, this is my team." He just said, "Look, we want to win," and Durant's a terrific player. Why am I going to, what's my ego, why is it going to salve my ego to say, hey, this is my team, not Durant's team? What do I care? Durant's terrific. He's a guy you're going to go to, and he's going to get Curry a lot of shots because you're going to have to double Durant a lot. And that was just a team where you couldn't double anybody because, you had Clay who makes 10 threes in a quarter. So you can't double anybody, and Green is serviceable and a great passer and a great defender. And then you have, we didn't even mention Andre Iguodala, who ends up being the MVP of the finals. So
in 15, Jack, that's why the second apron was invented, was because of that team, that 2017 team. And I want to move past this for a second here, Jack, and bring it to college for a moment here. First of all, I want to ask you, they're signing on already 2027 recruits, Jordan Green, who is committed to Fresno State, now coming through the same pipeline that we saw Gorey come through. Is there any risk with the 2027 guys that in this day and age they're going to find somewhere else to go more easily, or do you say if they're committed now, as long as the coach is still there, they are going to be Bulldogs?
I would say, you know, a lot of people are saying, why are you recruiting now? You don't know if Vance is going to be back. You know, what if he is? You know, I mean, you can't say, well,
yeah,
we didn't
recruit him.
I didn't think I was going to be back. You got to try to go. And they have the pipeline. I talked with John Welch today, and he said, you know, he knew a little bit about him, but really Chris Stahowski is the one who has the connection in Phoenix. And so I called House, and he told me, he said, basically, he thinks this kid's like a, you know, a 6'8 version of Gorey, real bouncy, does a lot of things that Gorey did. He said, but he thinks, I mean, which isn't saying a whole lot, he's a better three-point shooter. In that he can make three-point shots. You know, Gorey would turn down three-point shots because, you know, he loved that mid-range, and he was, you know, he was nails from mid-range. So, yeah, this guy, you know, Chris Stahowski, you know, really loves him, work ethic. He said the thing that Gorey beat everybody on was his work ethic. But, you know, as far as the guys they have, they, you know, they like him, they like who was it? Anthony Granger, you know, from the same school. It's kind of a, you know, it's not like it. Wow, you know, wow, what a high school. No, it's not. It's a factory. And, I mean, this kid, Green is from Atlanta. So Atlanta's not exactly a suburb of Phoenix. But that's where kids are going now, whether it's Prolific Prep, you know, up north where Jalen Green went. Or, you know, some of the other places, Oak Hill Academy. You know, it's that's what you're going to get. But this guy, hey, can he always can go somewhere. Those guys can always go somewhere else because they have the rule you can transfer. And if he has a terrific year this year, I think a lot of it might depend on Granger, because if Granger has a great year, it shows that Vance can take guys from Phoenix Prep and turn them into really good players. Because if you remember, Gorey was not highly recruited. And this kid Green is a three-star player, which is really what you wanted to do at Fresno State before this crazy transfer portal came in. Get a three-star guy and turn him into a four or a five minus.
Right.
You know, and you know, groom him and give him playing time and let him get through some mistakes, but have him get better and improve your players. And like you said, now you do it and somebody else takes him. So, you know, if he has a great senior year, yeah, sure somebody else could give, because, you know, you can't sign guys yet, so it's just a commitment. And commitment, I guess, is a, you know, different word than it used to be. When I was, you know, when I was in school, where commitment, your parents told you. I have a friend I played with in high school who was 6'5", 250, great defensive tackle, and was being recruited by everybody. He was an Irish Catholic kid, and his father told Arab Parsegian, don't come in, we're not interested. Well, this kid committed to West Point, and then he made a visit to Penn State, and he went to his father, and he said, Dad, I really want to go to Penn State. He said, no, you gave your word to West Point, that's where you're going. And that's where he went.
Right.
And he told me at our reunion, our 50-year reunion, you know, it was the greatest decision I ever made. I'm so glad my father made me do it. Now you don't have that. You don't have that commitment. I mean, this kid just committed. Now, let's say his parents are involved. Usually, you know, you have people. We didn't have people back then. We had family. And not to sound like a get-off-my-lawn guy, but, you know, now guys have agents. I mean, Vance told our group the other, I don't know, about a couple months ago, every one of his guys on the team, everyone had an agent, including Jack Manny. I mean, Jack Manny was a graduate transfer. This guy has an agent. The guy is, you know, he's not exactly turn around your program type guy. But all of these guys have agents, and I guess they listen to them. And to agents, there's no such thing as a commitment. The commitment is to the highest bidder. So,
well, and that's the problem.
In answer, any one of these guys can leave whenever they want.
Well, and look, that is a problem in and of itself. The freedom of movement, independent of everything else, was a problem, and hopefully they've taken steps now, if they get everything through for the 5-5, that's going to solve some of this. But the reality is, and you and I have talked about it enough, and everybody has, but it's going to continue to be a topic of conversation. It is complicated, the situation from a negative standpoint, exacerbated to the nth degree by money, because now it's not only freedom of movement, because the initial thought was, if somebody was at a school where they weren't getting the playing time or they weren't getting the coaching they wanted or whatever it might be, the academics weren't right, that they were free to move. That is part of personal freedom. But then you throw the money in, and we heard this at Fresno State with guys that left the program. I mean, this is part of saying the quiet part out loud, right? Gorey's a great example. I had no problem with playing time, no problem with the coaching staff, no problem with the school. It was all about the Benjamins. That was it. Yeah. It was about money. And if somebody else offered me more money, I'm gone. If Fresno State offered me the same amount, I could stay. Jack, that is honest, but it is also very, very disconfirming, very disquieting, and very disappointing, because somebody is saying, you created the proper environment for me. I have no qualms about it, but somebody else has offered me more money. And that is what is supposed to happen in a professional game. And I bring this up because Austin Reeves agreed to the max deal with the Lakers today. They'll hold off on formalizing it because they want to have the cap room. But the reason the Lakers had to move on it was because the Detroit Pistons were right there willing to offer him the kind of money. That's what happens in the pro game. But as you know, Jack, and we've talked, that happens with contracts. That happens with salary cap. That happens with second apron. That's what prevents a team from buying up the world. If we could get there collegiately, it would be great. But you and I both know the practicality of that is about zero, right? That ideal scenario where everybody is held to the same financial standard, no exceptions, and NIL money, even on the outside, counts toward that cap. Even if a benefactor who sponsors you gives you X number of dollars separate from the university, that has to count toward that university's cap. That would be the perfect world. But, Jack, are we going to find any judges that will limit personal freedom to that extent the way they do in the professional game, where it is, again, an association, an agreement between, in the case of the NBA, 30 owners? Can't do that in college, can we, realistically?
No, well, no, you have, you know, in the pros, you're talking about 30 to 32 teams. In college basketball, you have 350-some, and it's tough to come up with something that's, you know, fair to everybody. You're never going to be able to legislate equality, and you're never going to be able to legislate morality. So I think, you know, that's an issue. When I talked with Chris Stahowski today, because he was so close to Gorey, he said his last conversation with Gorey was, boy, I really miss Fresno. And I'll tell you, having been to Corvallis, I completely understand what he's saying. Corvallis and Pullman were the reason that those two schools got left out from the Pac-12 with everybody moving on. So, yeah, I mean, Gorey he loved it here. He loved it here, and he loved the school. I think he loved the coaches and his teammates. But like you said, it's a chance to make money that, I mean, as good as he is and as good as everybody here thought he was, he's a long way off from being an NBA player. So you got to make your money now. And whether he got, you know, 600 or 750, sure, what can you do? I mean, you can't put this rule in that you have now and expect kids to, be loyal to a school. You're making them. You're forcing them to make a decision of, I don't have much money. You're offering me quite a bit, you know, let's say six figures to seven figures. And, I'm not going to make that later on. That's the problem. See, the problem I see, Tony, is once these guys get out of school, the ones who don't go to the NBA, they're going to have to get a job. And they're going to go for a job interview, and the guy's, we really like you, you know. Your starting salary is $75,000. Kids go, $75,000? Are you kidding? I got $750,000. at the last school I went to, well, it doesn't work that way anymore. And these kids, it's going to be an eye-opening experience when they get them, or they're going to have to play overseas for whatever they can get, which means playing in a foreign country. And, that's not everybody's cup of tea. It takes a certain maturity level to go to another country where you don't know anybody and you don't speak the language. It's a mess. And the judge who made the ruling, I would hope, would have thought about it and say, you know what, maybe by the letter of the law it was correct. But if I had to do it all over again, I would have at least put some caveats in there, like they're trying to do now with the one-time transfer rule.
Well, two things, Jack, and we have about 10 minutes today, and we'll certainly continue this conversation during the summer. But the reality of trying to make an NBA roster, Mac McClellan's a great example, a revelation with Slam Dunk, all that stuff, right? And yet the guy can't even hang on as much as he tries. It is that hard to make an NBA roster, never mind making a ton of money, although you're going to make seven figures if you make a roster. It's tough to make the G League. As we've talked before, guys that play pickup games and they'll say, oh, this guy can really play. Okay, yeah. Go watch a G League game and watch these guys against regular players after you say, how in the world can this otherworldly talent not be able to make a roster? It's because there are so few jobs. That's why. It's so hard to make it's hard to make an NFL roster with 53. It's really tough to make an NBA roster with 15. And you're right.
You got 450 jobs. That's it.
Yeah. If you're going to make more money in college, if you're a coach, even if in the long run it's not the best for the young man, you have to tip your cap to him, particularly if he comes from financial hardship where he owes it to his family. The other thing, Jack, is, and it is the elephant in the room, and it's the reason that I continue to look at such cynicism of the statements of Tony Petitti, of course, who's the commissioner of the Big Ten, and Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, when they say they laugh when people say they're going to form the Super Conference. You and I know this, Jack. When you talk, and you just talked about it, and you're absolutely right in the middle of the bullseye, you can make rules for 30 or 32 or maybe 40 teams.
Yep,
so you tell me, Jack, what's the one way to solve it collegiately? That is for the cream of the crop, the ultimate haves, the ones that the networks are willing to spend the millions for, the ones that could start DTC, which is direct to consumer. For instance, a Notre Dame who could market their home games if they wanted to and make a ton of money, or Alabama, et cetera, through pay-per-view. Put all of those into a very confined conference, and you have a collegiate version of the NBA or the NFL, structured the same way, everybody playing by agreement under the same rules, the same cap, and then the courts can't get involved because it's a voluntary decision made by those schools. But, Jack, is that in the best interest of collegiate sport to turn it into a glorified collegiate version of the professional sports leagues? Is that redundant? Is that not how it should be? Or do you say it is the best answer for the true haves? And the rest of them, as we've said, can play in a second tier, and maybe then we can have some sort of equality without the big boys siphoning everything off. Or is it still going to happen again? What's your feeling?
Well, I think that it's the best thing to do for them. I don't know if it's the best thing to do for everybody else. It's probably the best thing to do for them, although I've said this before, they don't get to play UT Chattanooga before they play their, big game.
Like somebody has to lose every week. You're right.
And not only do you have to lose, but you're going to be playing against somebody just like you, who has the same, pretty much same money you have, and going against players that are pretty good. And you get banged up, it's a lot easier. You don't have Austin Peay, on a schedule where you can rest guys who are a little banged up. You're going to be playing head to head. Now, if that's the case, you can only do it in football. People love March Madness. I mean, there are people who say that's the greatest thing going because you have the potential upsets. People love their pools that they get into. you couldn't do it. You can't do it in basketball for the main reason that you have too many non-football schools who are very good basketball schools. And we named them before, you know, Villanova, Gonzaga, Marquette.
Right.
You know, teams that have won national championships or gone to the Final Four. So, you know, would it be the best thing? I think if it happened in football, I think that people would be interested in that, but it would just be more, like I said before, NFL light. You know, okay, it's the big boys, but I think you get bored probably of seeing the same schools. And they're the Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, you know, just seeing those same schools. Okay, I think that it'd be great for the have-nots, let's call them, because you would have more of a level playing field, and I think it would be college football. The other one would be called NFL light or NFL, you know, minor leagues, whatever you want to call it. You know, this one would be. And now, will it happen? I doubt it. And I know people right now still cling to the maybe we can get an invite, you know, into the playoff. And I know, you know, athletic directors love that because it means a lot of money for the school. But,
right.
You know, until those teams that get invited into that make a decent showing, unlike last year, I don't know. That's going to be the SEC Big Ten answer to why don't we go out on our own. Whether it's the best thing, I don't know. Not, you know, it's the best thing for them, but I don't know if it is for the entire country. And sometimes, you know, you got to just bite the bullet and, you know, do what you're doing. It's what you have isn't so bad either.
Well, look, the NFL, as you know, is referred to as not for long because, again, the fact that somebody always has to lose. So, you know, you could be a very, very good – the NFC West is case in point. All right, we look at the best odds for the Super Bowl. Take the top six for the Super Bowl. Three of them are in the same division,
yep.
Jack, which means
right.
they have to play one another
yep.
twice each year. And that means that teams in a lesser division are going to end up with better records because of it. And it's also going to mean that coaches are going to get chased out in a big hurry because, like you said, particularly collegiately, Alabama
yep. –
is used to having a bad year, meaning maybe three losses. All of a sudden, if a bad year is under 500, see you later to the coaches. And again, for
absolutely.
Every win, there
yeah.
has to be a loss. And like you said, you can't have three compass point games at the start of the year where you play all your young guys. You're going to jump right out of the box, and boosters, as you brought up, that are used to winning, used to pounding their chest, are going to find out they're losing because the level of competition every week is that way. And then it does become what the National Football League is, which is a business, period, end of story. And
sure.
we hope that college wouldn't be just a business. That's what it's turned into. I hope it changes. But you know what? It's going to take more than 75-year-old judges making decisions to change that. And also Congress going to have to be willing to step out and in unanimity make these rules and codify them in a federal way so that somebody in Fort Worth can't make a ruling that changes everything in a conference, and that's what happened, of course, with Sorsby in the Big 12. Jack, in the last minute, since we look at our Mount Rushmore, and on our Mount Rushmore is Paul George, and we're still waiting for our Mount Rushmore guys, somebody to win a championship, are the Sixers farther and farther from shore now, after the Knicks won and after everything else, 60 seconds, does Paul George have any shot, or is he going to age out and not be a guy who gets the championship first?
Well, it all comes down to, you know, healthy. I mean, if, you know, if he's not healthy, then, yeah, he has no chance. If Joel Embiid doesn't plays as many games as he normally does, no, they have no shot. But they do have a very nice team when everybody's healthy. And it certainly can compete. You know, I just don't know about the organization. I know that I've talked with Dave Severn several times. He said there are some great organizations, and the Warriors being one, the Pacers, the Heat, OKC, San Antonio. I don't know that Philadelphia is one of those, and I don't
just
know. Like Sacramento.
Daryl Morey, yeah.
Right, and Sacramento's not one of them. So it's you know, where you are matters, and I would hope that at least they would be healthy for the entire year, so we could see what that, you know, the potential of that team, because they have, I mean, you know, they have some terrific players.
Oh, sure, Mackey, Edgecombe, those guys are really, really outstanding players. And, you know,
yeah, so, and well, they're, you know, they could win a champion. They have enough talent to win a championship. They have to stay healthy. And they're in the East, which helps them, too.
Well, that's even with the Knicks being the champions. The West is this a usual amalgamation of top-heavy and deep at the same time, and now Utah got a lot better. With the draft. The Kings had an intriguing draft, including Acuff. And if you look really in the 15-team Western Conference right now, you can only look at rebuilding Memphis and New Orleans and say for sure they will be in that bottom five that doesn't even make the play-in. Dallas, if they get healthy, Flag has another year, they're going to be better. We know already both L.A. teams can be viable. Denver and Minnesota, if they get things sorted out, Houston, it is a monster conference, and that's why it's so hard to win in the West, and it's why that Giannis, when it came down to who he'd be willing to sign with, ended up telling the folks in Milwaukee, only in the East. I'm not going West because I want to chase the title. Jack, appreciate it as always. You and I will continue these conversations. I'm glad that everybody basketball-wise is starting to look at things, and I really commend those young businessmen for getting involved and helping Vance out. You and I will keep talking about it. If you want to join the Timeout Club, give Jack a call, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdyjack@AOL.com. Jack, talk to you next week, my friend. Appreciate the double visit this week. Take care.
You bet. Go Dogs.
You got it. Jack Ferdy, take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. Have 2 hours for you. Then back to the draft, and then baseball after that. Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. On the bench 2 hours today, then back to the NBA draft, the second and final round, ESPN TV at 5 o'clock today. Tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more info on the web. Again, we commend Ed for the great work that he does throughout the valley with his business, one of the best civil engineering companies you're going to find anywhere in the world. And also, he's been a tremendous benefactor for a number of years at his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. A lot of those grads go to work at Precision Civil Engineering. The goal, as always, fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. As far as the lineup goes tonight, again, Giants and the A's, 6:15, the Giant feed on 1430. Paul Metters back with his great show about Fresno Pacific Athletics, Sunbird Sports Show, 6 to 7 on 790. So we'll pick up the A's feed at 7. And I do want to mention, my sympathies go out to Zach Gelof, who had a 24-game hitting streak, the longest in-season hitting streak we have seen in the last couple of years in Major League Baseball. And last night, after making out in the first inning, he was hitting leadoff. Second inning of the game, playing defense at second base, Chapman hits a ball toward the fence, and the throw comes in from the outfield, and Chapman, heading to second, inadvertently steps on Gelof's hand, and Zach is out of the game. So an 0-for-1 in his hitting streak is done, and we're going to find out. I haven't heard if it's a long-term injury, but what a tough way to lose your 24-game hitting streak, looking for 25, and that you only got one AB, for goodness sake. So a tough deal. Giants won last night. We'll see what happens tonight. They'll have an afternoon game tomorrow that will take our time slot. The other reminders here. Normally 3 to 6 with Phil's great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Evadikian. Best furniture you're going to find anywhere, nothing like it in all of California. A great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. can always give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The same applies to Gonzo, who's back with us in the morning now at the Valley Rise Show, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Check that out. Give him a call. Paul Metters not only has the Sunbird Sports Show I mentioned, but his long-running show on Saturday mornings from First Ring Sports on 1430, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. I still can't get back to you privately, but I can see your emails as the doctors, as I've mentioned, until I get through all these surgeries, all orthopedic, all right? There's nothing else. It's not like Rob and what our buddy Robert's going through, which is such a serious issue. Mine just beating myself up, playing too many sports at an advanced age. But I get back to you over the air the best I can, tdad1 at att.net. Again, want to thank our sponsors, as always. That would be Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to McKenna on the board, Gonzo as well. And one more reminder, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Get involved with Bulldog Sports Enterprises if you can. Phil is coming up. We'll see you guys on Friday. This is KFIG Fresno.